This week on Barbell Shrug, we travel to Cookeville, Tennessee to interview the world's fittest man, Angelo DiCicco, along with the other world's fittest man, Rich Froning.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Hey, I see you sitting there, lonely by your keyboard. If you want to, just whip your fingers out, put them on your keys, type in http://www.barbellshrug.com. While you're there, swing on over, sign up for the newsletter. We'll send you some cool free stuff, and make sure to check out Overtime. It's a sweet place with a bunch of sweet stuff. And last but not least, I know you're trying to find a bitchin' t-shirt to get your mom for her birthday. Head on over to merch.barbellshrug.com.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so I am starting to downregulate right now. I'm getting tired.
You're getting tired?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. We kind of
had
a blowout earlier.
You did have.
They got a little out of hand.
Got a little out of hand.
Sure.
Several
I'll do what you
steps.
Do today.
What y'all do? Tell us about what y'all did.
Well, he was supposed to do what I did today. He technically didn't. He did it a little bit faster than I did. But it was clean and jerk, 380 pounds for time. And he won by a couple of minutes, probably like 15 minutes. I finally got it, but he finally got it too.
Yeah,
we both PR'd our clean and jerk today.
Good day.
Yeah.
After we swam. We both swam today.
I swam a little bit. I swam like a quarter of what y'all did. I did probably like 500 meters total.
But you're also not used to the volume that we swim, so.
I did way more kicking today than I have ever done in my life.
Oh, yeah. Kicking sucks.
And my hip flexors were pretty tired.
How much did y'all swim today?
I think it was like 2,000 yards. I think we were in a yard pool.
2,000 yards.
Is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Usually it's around what we swim is 2,000, whatever pool we're in.
Because I know I got in that pool, and we just what is like the cross section of that pool?
You were probably doing like 20-yard intervals, 25s maybe.
Yeah, because one trip down.
Dude, I was so fired up when I saw you hop in.
Good?
Aren't you glad you tried?
Yeah, I'm glad I tried. Yeah, it was definitely a lot. What I was doing before, that was not swimming.
Yeah. Very cool.
You're surviving. That's all that matters.
I don't swim. I survive. It's all surviving.
Yeah. Well, that's fine.
Yeah,
you're catching
up too. Yeah.
No.
Well, we were talking
especially the kick.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier. Well, later after we saw and when you were on that paddleboard, you were kicking
terrible.
Yeah. Well, that kick is hard.
Yeah, you're terrible. No.
Terrible.
Wait a minute. Before we start talking too much, let's just at least tell everyone who's listening
who these people are. On here.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Barbell Shrug. I'm your host, Mike McGoldrick, here with Alex Macklin.
Yo.
And as always, CTP behind the camera, and we're here in Cookeville, Tennessee, in the original Froning's barn. With our special guest today, Rich Froning.
Hey.
And Angelo DiCicco.
Hey.
Now, we have been here for a couple of days, and we've done a bunch of cool interviews, but I'm really excited about this one because Angelo is something special. He's the first 16-year-old that we've ever interviewed. So, with that said, why don't you tell people a little bit about yourself and why we're interviewing you?
I won the CrossFit Games for the 14-15 teen division last year. Yeah, ooh. The first time they had a teen division, I won that, and then I guess here I am.
I love how he just comes out and just says it because we've had guests on the show that they just want to talk about, well, you know, first I started off with this. They don't want to talk about their accolades. And then this dude's like, yeah, I won a CrossFit game as a teenager. Yeah.
And by no means did we mean to put you on the spot like that, but thank you for telling people that. But also,
just get it out.
He's a cool dude, man. He's more mature than I am. He's been on this earth half the time that I have.
Some days he's more
mature. And he's won the CrossFit Games far more many times than I ever will. So, man, glad to have you.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more. Like how'd you get into CrossFit?
Him and Dan Bailey came to my middle school, and they ran us through a little workout, and
I did not know that. I didn't know that was the what kind of started it. That's funny.
After that, I asked him. I go, hey, is there any way I can come join your gym? And he goes, yeah, we got an intro class. You can come take the intro class. And he goes, I think we'll have a teen class soon. And so I did that. I went the intro class, and then after probably about 8, maybe almost a year, mm-hmm. then they had the teens class, and then so I was doing that for a while.
How old were you when you first did that first workout? When Rich came to your gym?
12 or 13.
So you were 12, 13
or
years old.
Just 13, I think.
Yeah.
What did we make you do?
It was on the basketball court.
Yeah,
you
remember
go,
that part.
It was like, go to the middle. I think you go to the middle and you do, I think it was a warm-up. You do some burpees. You come back. You tag your partner. They go.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played a game. I think we played like dodgeball or maybe handball, something like that.
And
you get out. Every time you get out, you do 5 push-ups. And then every time you get out more, you do five extra push-ups. So you do 5, 10 until you're done.
Oh, okay.
It was only like 3 or 5 minutes. It wasn't long.
Did you play any sports before you started doing CrossFit?
Ran cross country and then played a year of lacrosse in there.
Gotcha.
That's about it.
Yeah. And you said earlier that that lacrosse is your favorite sport.
Oh yeah, lacrosse is fun. Yeah. I still love it. I wish I could do it competitively, but I like this a lot more than I like this a lot more than lacrosse.
Yeah. So when you did this first like workout, was it easy for you or was it hard? Like how was it? How did you feel?
There was running in it, so I was happy. But it was like a little bit of running, so I'm like, okay, I can do this. I'm like, hopefully there's a lot of running in this.
And were you just like beasting everybody else in the school?
No,
like,
I was probably a solid soaking wet. I was probably 115.
So
I was tiny. Tiny. And so no, I was not an athlete by any means at all.
But were you like beating everybody else in the class? Like, did you know that you were at a higher level than everybody else, or
no, not really. No, I didn't think so.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Now, when you started, did you get into this with the intention of competing, or did you just like the workouts and want to have fun and something different?
It was just because I liked doing cross country because it was an endurance sport, and I knew I wanted to lift weights. I wanted to get a little bit bigger, so I started doing that for a little bit, and then after that, I found CrossFit and then started doing that because it kind of mixed the two. Pretty good. Yeah. I keep that endurance. I can lift weights and have fun with it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't think about doing it as a sport at all.
Gotcha. Because when I was your age, I mean, maybe if CrossFit was around, I would have probably done it and enjoyed it as a sport. But I don't know. I liked to play a lot of sports, and I liked some things in the weight room. I hated running and things like that. And I liked to lift weights, but I never would have thought that I would have tried to pick up exercising as a sport. Yeah, for sure.
Well, it didn't exist when we were in high school.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So I don't know if it did, if I would have or not. Yeah. You know? But
Funny story, actually. The last year, Angelo signed up in the open division. Like, he wasn't going to do the teen. He's like, that's stupid. You know, if I finish, because we knew he was pretty good. And so we were like, there's a teen division. You should sign up in the teen division. He's like, no, there's not going to be any chance for me to do anything after. So what's the point in doing it? Because they hadn't announced that they were doing the games. We're like, Angelo, you should just do the teen. Like, there's no point in you getting, like, 30,000th place or something.
30th.
Like,
if I would have got 30th, I would have been ecstatic.
So, finally, I think you actually registered twice. You registered in the open division and then also in the teen.
Yeah, I didn't even decide to do the teen division until Sunday of the first week.
And then so he signed up, and then after it, they announced they were doing the teen games. And I was like, aren't you glad you listened, dude? And he was like, yeah, I am.
Yeah,
very cool. So, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was going to ask, when he came in the gym, Rich, did you recognize his talent?
I wasn't really there in the beginning of when he first started working out with us. Darren, does most of the coaching there. So I remember hearing about him and hearing how we had to, like, either kick him out of the gym because he would just hang out all day or, when we would be there and he would be with us, we'd kind of like, get this kid out of here. What's he doing? But, no, he's a good kid. And they really had to, like, dial him back from the beginning. He just wanted to, lift as heavy as he could and do everything. And we were kind of like, all right, let's make sure you're doing stuff right before we let you. Yvette harped on him for, a year? She wouldn't let him use anything more
Yvette's
than 90.
Yvette's your gym manager?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. She runs a gym. She wouldn't let him use anything more than 95 pounds, right, for, like,
long time.
A year and a half.
I did.
And so, it worked. I mean, I think it paid dividends in making sure he did stuff right instead of just trying to get stuff heavy.
You learn how to move.
Yeah, move really well.
Yeah. It took a little while. Yeah, it wasn't a good mover at the beginning, and just a lot of 95 pounds on the minute.
Yeah.
Just do a few on the minute. That's helped a lot.
Yeah, for as young as you are, like, I watched some of your snatching and clean and jerking. Yeah. Like, you move really, really well.
Yeah, I tried to.
Yeah, what's some of your best snatch, clean and jerk?
Snatch, 235, almost 245.
Yeah, I did that workout the other day. You almost got it.
And then 275 clean and jerk. Yeah. And
At 16, 17 years old.
It's really strong.
Yeah,
I wasn't doing that at 16 or so.
How tall are you?
About 5'10", yeah.
And how long have you lifted weights?
For real, probably a year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Okay, so you still seem pretty tall. It's not stunting your growth.
Yeah. No, not at all.
You see that, people? He's not stunting his growth.
Yeah.
So, Rich, when did you kind of take him kind of under your tutelage?
I'd say in the last year or so, probably. We kind of – when he could start driving, we didn't have to, like, pull him around everywhere. It's kind of tough because you're like, I don't want to go pick him up from the house, but he hung out at the gym all the time with Darren and all those guys. And I guess I'd say really in the last year or so, we've really been like, all right, Angelo, come on, come hang out with us. He's on the text thread with us every day and tries to skip out on the swimming and running sometimes. So we have
sprinting.
To make him do it. Yeah.
So I want to ask a little bit about, you know, the ability to do this as much as you are. So most kids are in school.
Yeah.
You're training a lot. Do you do homeschool? Do you go to high school? Like, what's the word?
Homeschooled. Yeah. This year's my first year homeschool. I have a lady in town who has helped me through the whole thing. She homeschooled her daughter. Mm-hmm. She's a teacher at the community college here. And so she's been a huge help in teaching us how to do it and not letting me get behind.
Yeah.
And that way I stay on track. So I have a schedule to where I can see I'm going to finish here, I'm going to finish here. So like where I'm going to finish everything so I'm not falling off track and I'm not getting behind because I don't want to graduate on 30.
He doesn't do anything school-wise.
I hear that all the time.
Just enough.
Well, how many times a day do you train? On a regular,
all day until 5:30.
Yeah,
5:30, and then
9:30 to 5:30.
Yeah,
a couple times in there.
Yeah, interesting.
So you'll do like from 5:30 to 9:30 at night. Is that what you're saying? Or
from 9:30 to 5:30?
Yeah, 9:30. Okay, sorry, 5:30. Yeah,
okay. And so probably maybe 3-4 times a day, like workouts, training typically.
Yeah. There we go. Somewhere in there.
A question I have is, now. You talked about for a couple of years, you know, you had Yvette kind of making sure that, you know, you were learning things correctly and Rich was there as well. But now that, you know, you're pretty proficient in the movements and the training volume's high and you've won the games, you're training with the big dogs daily. Do you dial things back or do you just keep up with what you can? You know, like how do you control that? You know, because you're going to be doing the teenage workouts for a couple more years.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to guess that you want to keep going to the next level and, you know, get to the games and so forth. So are you like training for that now or are you training for the workouts that you're presented with now?
I do usually the stuff that they do. And then if there's anything that I really need to work on, then I try to do that instead.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I just focus on the things that I think I need to focus on. Just regular training, focus on the weaknesses, make the strength stronger.
Or you just do what Rich tells you.
I think he's doing a lot of CrossFit, and he's getting better at CrossFit. And
sure.
Yeah. When he's a teen, the weights will be a little bit different. He's getting as strong as he can, but also getting as fit as he can. I mean, I think there's going to be transfer over in that. You know, I don't think you can really look at it and say, oh, were we getting him ready for the teen games versus the CrossFit games? We're just getting him ready for CrossFit.
Yeah, I was more like just trying to figure out, is it the weights? Like,
right, yeah. Yeah.
Like, is he doing regional workout weights? Like.
Just some depends. Them, sometimes, you know, like if we know like a certain workout, if it's a team workout, half the time he jumps in and just does whatever we do. Mm-hmm. If it's an individual type workout, we'll dial the weight back. And even like if it's a heavy individual or a team workout, sometimes we'll have a separate barbell for him.
Yeah.
Like we know like, you know what stimulus you want from a certain workout.
Right.
We're trying to get the same out of him.
Got it.
And so
we did that snatch workout the other day and that was heavy. It went up from. What did it start at?
155,
30 reps, 185, 24 reps, 205,
225, 18 reps.
Yeah, you know, you were doing it the whole way, so strong, man.
Yeah, thank you.
And, Rich, do you program, I guess, so now you're on a team and you do team workouts. Do you program for your team?
We all kind of just program together. I don't think there's any one person that does all the programming. And we're not always doing team workouts. Like we do a lot of individual workouts because there's individual parts of what we do. You know, like last year there was a couple. Mm-hmm. You were by yourself. You're a sprint type workout. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we all just kind of when we're together, we program together. And when we're apart, everybody kind of does their own thing. And everybody knows what their strengths and weaknesses are and they need to work on. But if we're together, everybody's kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you do program, do you take into account everybody's weaknesses and try to tackle those?
A little bit, but I mean, you got six people,
right?
And so you don't. I mean, everybody's going to have a different strength and weakness. So it's kind of every workout, or if you know, over a day or over a couple days, you'll hit everybody's strength and weakness. So I think, you know, as a team, we have a few things that all of us could, or most of us could work on. You know, a lot of us, Matt and Kristen, are really good at running. The rest of us need to run a little bit more frequently.
Yeah.
A few of us are really good at swimming, and some others need to work on that. You know, like some of the, you know, Kristen's not the strongest, so she's working on that. And so, you know, there's just everybody's working on something they have, and they know what that is, so they kind of do that on their own.
Yeah.
When we're together, we just kind of, whatever we throw up there, we just all do.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I saw you guys, like, when we came in the other day, it was like y'all were brainstorming, okay, what are we going to do today?
Yeah, that's literally how it is every day, most days. You know, our strength stuff, depending on, you know, we've been doing that what we call squats by Dre, but basically Smolov.
And that's awesome.
And it
squat calculus
seems to be
what it looked
like.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. What is that? Can I explain that? How that works?
Yeah. So I don't even know how Dre's sitting over here. I don't know how he came up with it.
But, that's his magic.
That's squat by Dre. Squats by Dre. And so one day he decided he was bad at front squats, so he wanted to start working on front squats, but he also wanted to incorporate cleans. And so basically you take the Smolov Junior calculator and you go the 6x6, you would do 1x5, so one clean plus five front squats, and then you do two plus four, 3 plus 3, and so on.
Right,
you do the same thing with all the different,
70%,
75%, 80, 85. And we don't do 4 days a week. We kind of do 2 days a week or whatever.
So you're taking away a squat each
taking
time.
Taking away a squat and adding a clean.
And adding a clean.
Who knows?
And you were doing this with cleaning jerks the other day, right?
Yeah. Sometimes we'll throw on the lighter weights, we'll throw a jerk. You just add one jerk on there when you're fatigued.
Yeah.
Just kind of, help a little bit.
And
with
you've
that.
Been doing this kind of how long now?
About 6 weeks, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Four to six weeks, something like that.
And how's that? How do you
feel? I feel good. I was talking to Mike about this the other day. just doing.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I mean,
think it's working.
Yeah. Clean my clean or PR my clean jerk. I was talking to Mike the other day. We did CrossFit weightlifting for a long time, and it did help a lot. Hit the higher percentages and stuff like this. So this is a little bit lower percentage because we actually base the percentage off of 90% of our clean, or snatch, whatever we're doing. And so for what we're doing, the point of we are in the year, it's like we need to be able to do reps.
Right.
At a certain weight instead of just always working for a heavy one rep. Because, how many times will you see a heavy one rep? Usually once in the games, once at regionals, maybe in the open. And so that's really what percent of the workouts, not a high percentage.
Right.
So we want to be able to do reps. And, hey, if you get, the stars align on a certain day and you hit a PR, that's great. But if you can do 315 for reps, that's what I'd rather take, So
yeah.
Just kind of depends.
Yeah, for sure. Interesting.
Yeah, and it's a lot of volume because I was watching and it's a lot of
volume, but I've liked it so far. I don't feel with the volume, it's a little bit lower percentage, like I said. I'm not feeling as beat up like with when I was doing a lot of just like what we were doing today. We were doing that for a while and I felt like you're just nervous system's fried.
What were we doing today, just for those that
a lot of we do well we did quite a few heavy singles and then we backed it down to I don't even know what percentage was 315 of 380. A lot.
Yeah.
That's a high percentage.
Don't ask us about math. Your dad was teaching us about how to count weight.
We were doing math while we were treading water earlier, remember?
And
70 to 80. No, so it's
when you're doing 15 total reps.
15 total reps. And so it fries your nervous system. So so
I'm gonna sleep
it's a little
tonight.
Bit different.
Yeah. And Angelo, how do you keep up with this type of training? Like how do you keep up with the volume and how do you recover?
He's 16, that's how.
He sleeps and he skips the run.
I know, man.
Yeah, I wish
sleep.
I was back then.
Oh man.
I sleep when I have to.
Yeah.
I try to eat as much as I can. I'll leave once or twice a day and I'll go eat by myself because I need to eat.
These guys don't eat much.
On the way from the
eat your feelings.
Yeah. On the way home from when I was coming here from the swim, I stopped at Kroger and I got sushi because I was hungry.
Yeah.
So I just eat a lot. Eat a lot. Sleep.
Gas station.
So you don't even track how much you eat. You just eat till
I'm full every time.
Yeah.
Just try not to be hungry. Try not to be hungry.
Yeah. Yeah.
What about training-wise? What are some things that are kind of a weakness or some things that you would not want to see come up and you're working on them right now?
Handstand push-ups had a lot – or strict handstand push-ups had a lot of trouble with those. Don't know why. Just I do them all the time, try to get better at them. Yeah, long arms. That might be it. And then I don't know. I don't know what –
Nothing else. I'm the fittest teenager on earth.
Yeah. I like it all. Yeah. No, I don't know. I like squatting. Going overhead, just going overhead in general, probably. Anything overhead. I just don't like pressing. I don't know.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a ton of weaknesses. He's pretty well-rounded. He runs well. You've only been swimming for a couple months now, and he's not bad at swimming. Mm-hmm. He's not the greatest at kicking, but who is good at kicking? Kicking sucks.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like I was going backwards today.
I know, right? Yeah. Have to kick a 150. I was like, come on.
That was a lot.
I was going to ask, what's it like training with – people older than you, and especially these guys. I mean, Rich, fittest man on earth 4 times. Like, what's it like?
I don't know. I've just gotten kind of used to it. It's just like training buddies. Just how it usually is at a gym. You have training buddies, all different ages. Doesn't matter. So we have a couple of masters at the gym. I train with them a lot. So I'm just used to training with anybody. Yeah. Anyone who's willing to train.
What have you learned from training with this crew?
Nothing. Absolutely. Yeah. Nothing.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nothing. Train. I don't know what they're talking about.
I just do what I'm told.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I do what I'm told. Yeah. Train hard and, yeah, just listen to them. Train hard. That's about it.
Are you having fun?
Tons of fun.
Is every workout fun?
Not every workout.
This morning wasn't fun.
There's a few. No, this morning was not fun.
Yesterday was not fun. Running was not fun.
Yesterday wasn't fun. Yeah.
Yeah, we were kind of joking. We're like, you know, Angelo, like, what I, you know, growing up playing sports, like, we were sitting there and we're like, he's not getting the locker room, like, you just those type of experiences. But then we started thinking about it and I was like, we haze him pretty good.
So, yeah. So this is the locker room.
So yeah, he's in the locker room. And then we were like, You sometimes you forget the kid's 16. You know, we're all almost 30.
Yeah.
And he's hanging out with a bunch of 30-year-olds. I don't even know, like, when I was 16, I wasn't hanging out with 30-year-olds, for sure. But we're actually, like, children, too, so you can't really say that.
I'm being serious when I say he's more mature than I am.
I agree.
It's not a joke.
Same.
Yeah. Have you learned anything from training with Angelo?
I think Angelo. Question. It's just, like I said, at 16, I wasn't nearly as strong or as fit, well-rounded as he is. So it's just kind of cool to help him out and have him around and just to see the things that are possible at that age. I mean, you know, I never would have thought a 16-year-old could snatch 235 and still, like yesterday running, he was running right there with us. So it's pretty impressive.
What do they have in the water here? That's what I want to know, man. Because I don't know. Like, two CrossFit Games champions out of here, Cookeville, Tennessee.
I mean, from being up here for several times and then, you know, a week already right now, the community you guys have, I mean, you guys are, like, at the pool this morning. Like, I can't get one or two people to come swim with me back home. You guys had seven people there, and you guys were all doing the same workout. Mm-hmm. No one asked questions. They just did it. Yep. And even if it was too hard or not enough, you just kind of dealt with it. Yeah, you adapt, you know. So, like, I see that here. It's like everyone's training so hard, and it's not, like, dumb training. Everyone's just getting better because, you know, you've got a team. You know, everyone's kind of following up with that. I think it's powerful.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody talks about who's their coach and who's coaching who and all this stuff. And I think coaches are important. I think you need somebody that give you some type of direction. But I would take training partners any day. I've said that several times. I'd take good training partners over a great coach any day. You know,
couldn't agree more.
Right. I mean, who's going to push you more than, you know, somebody else right there with you? Because, I mean, if you have somebody that's telling you what to do and you're not seeing them suffer or they're not suffering with you, it's a little hard to be like, all right, sure. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you doing here? Mm-hmm. So, I think you hit the nail on the head. Is just having the good people around you, having the people that'll push you, and people you have fun with. You know, we like to hang out with each other, so it's a good time.
Did you always train with a bunch of people, or did you usually train by yourself?
I feel like we kind of like go in waves. You know, some days you like to just walk out to the garage, nobody there. Mm-hmm. You don't have to push hard. Like, you know, some of those days where you're just beat up a little bit, but you want to move. You don't want somebody there, but. For the most part, I guess, I've always had people around me to push. Yeah. Now I feel like everybody's a lot more well-rounded, so they're pushing me in all different areas. I used to have different people that would, you know, certain people would push me in this area, somebody pushed me in this area, and somebody, you know, whatever it was, gymnastics, strength, or just endurance stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of funny that it was like a revolving door of people. You know, you had the morning crew that, you know, is whoever, and then the afternoon is a completely different crew. And then those people sometimes would get burnt out because we trained a lot.
Yeah.
And so we've kind of we've been through a few different cycles of people. Mm-hmm. But we have fun. Yeah. We have fun.
Angelo, do you have anyone your age you train with? Or is it mostly this crew?
No, it's just mostly this crew. Yeah, I had a couple buddies who did it with me for a little while, but no one else. Yeah.
Did they get into it because of you?
No, they were into it, and then we kind of met through CrossFit a little bit. We went to the same high school, so we kind of talked a little bit.
Yeah.
And then they just got, I mean, I don't know. I guess I just got a little more serious with it.
Sure.
I don't know why.
Now, I can just guess that there are other teenagers out there who are starting to get into competition and probably look up to you. Do you have anything you'd want to say, like to give them some advice, like anything that you've learned that you would want to share?
I like the idea of the training partners. Yeah, the training partners, that's the biggest thing, I think, because especially on the off season, I was training not by myself, but I wasn't training with people who were pushing me as hard, and I could tell. And so once I started training with them, I could tell I was getting pushed harder. But, yeah, just people who were willing to go hard and want to go hard with you, like, a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so huge. I mean, if you look at any sport, especially in the strength world, like, all the best weightlifters train together, all the best powerlifters train together. Why not all the best CrossFitters? Yeah. All the best CrossFitters probably trained it right. come here and train with you.
Yeah, we do. We have quite a few people come around. And, you know, we just have fun. Like I said, we had Bridges out here a couple weeks ago. Frazier was here. Last week. Last week. And so, yeah, we just kind of.
Hey, man. I mean, I just PR'd my cleaning jerk.
That's right.
Like,
hey.
Something awesome. So, we got Dre over there, too, who's an extremely high-level athlete. Yep. What place did he get in the Open and going into regionals?
Yep. What were you, 27th overall in the world? And then third in our region. So
he's breeding them.
Not a bad athlete. Yeah. And actually, all the workouts were not wheelhouse workouts for him. I mean, he's a pretty strong kid, and they were all most of the workouts in the Open, minus the second one, were all relatively the same workout, body weight, lightweight reps. Yeah. Going to tell Andre a little bit, the legend of Andre. he did, what was it, the second workout.
Yeah.
He did the second workout twice in one day.
No.
Better. What'd you get?
Which one was that one, the cleans?
424 and 427.
Oh, that was 16. Was that 16 too?
425 and 428. So the cleans, the 315, he hit 315.
Oh, geez.
He got to 315 and got into the 315 twice in one day. If the idiot would have waited till at least Monday, he probably could have finished it. But he was dead set on doing it again that night.
And hey, sometimes you try it seven times. You know?
However, I can't say much. I did event four times twice in one day. I just want to get back to that freaking pull-up bar on the muscle-ups. And then Dre also did 1,000 GHDs in 50 minutes.
Tell us that story.
Didn't get rhabdo?
Did not get rhabdo. I believe rhabdo is a myth. No, one night, I don't even remember how it started. We did a workout. It was like 100 GHDs and 100 push press at 75 pounds, something like that. And James and Dre were being stupid, and they're like, well, we could do 100 rounds of 10 and 10 back and forth or something like that. And Dre and James goes, well, that's 1,000 GHDs. Dre goes, that's no problem. James goes, you think you could do 1,000 GHDs in an hour? Was that the deal? Something like that. He's like, you think you could do 20 GHDs on the minute till 1,000. Dre goes, yeah, no problem. James goes, all right, I'll bet you $1,000 you can't do it. And so we have a text thread between all of us because they were roommates at the time. And James told us all, he's like, Dre says he can do 1,000 GHDs and be fine. And so Hewitt's like, I'll take 200. I'll throw 200 on that.
Oh, no.
And I was like, dang it. I was like, Dre's really good at GHDs and Dre's really stupid. So he'll probably do it, but I don't want to look like a cheapskate, so I'll throw in 200.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Sure enough, one Saturday.
$1,400 now?
$1,400.
Anybody get any ideas.
Yeah, no, right. One Saturday, he decided to do 20 on the minute. Do what? Oh, it was the morning after
it was,
he did
16.2
twice.
The Open.
Yeah. Yep. And so on Saturday, we're all lifting in the garage, and Dre just starts doing GHDs, and we're all just kind of like talking trash, trying to like make him laugh to make it hurt.
Yeah.
Around and then around 400, he goes, hey, Angel, go give me that belt. Straps on a belt.
And then he finished it in 50 minutes.
Wow.
Every round was about 40 seconds, what do you think, for 50 minutes.
Well, Dre, what are you going to spend your money on?
He already did. He already blew it.
Yeah. Oh,
this
man.
Goes to another story of Dre. Yeah, we'll talk about this one too. Dre, how many times have you ridden a motorcycle?
Did you buy a motorcycle?
No,
with
he
that?
Did not buy a motorcycle. So his buddy, Dre's from Illinois. Dre moved down here last January. And so he moved down with a buddy. His buddy ended up moving back to Illinois. Mm-hmm. And it was this fall. Yeah, I guess it was this fall.
Yeah.
And it was starting to get cold up there. So Dre's like, hey, John, let me borrow your it's an on-road, off-road enduro bike. It's a Yamaha 250 ZT, something like that. And so John brings it down. Let's Dre borrow the bike. Dre comes up here. What do you had it, 2 days?
Why don't we just give him the mic?
2 days?
You want to come talk?
2 days. And so Dre, for the past 2 years, this is another story. Dre's needed shoulder surgery for the last 2 years. Uh-huh. He got torn labrum. So Dre is going to have an MRI on his shoulder, takes off on the bike. I get a call from Darren. He says, hey, we got to take Dre to the hospital. I said, what did he do?
Oh, no.
He was coming down the hill. He's already down the mountain, was going down the high 70 down there, right before you get to that bridge. So if you've never ridden a motorcycle, what do you try to do? What was the first thing you want to do?
Go fast.
Is that
the right
fast,
answer?
See how fast it'll go, huh?
So Dre's going. That logic is kind of flawed in my opinion.
Dre's going downhill, trying to see as fast as he could go. Starts to get a little speed wobble. If you've never ridden a bike, what do you do?
You lay it down.
You grab the brake.
Oh.
However, or ease off the gas is what you should do. Yep. He grabs the front brake.
Oh,
Trey
okay.
grabs the front brake, does a flip over the front of the bike.
Oh.
He probably landed on his feet and just
going
ran.
Going 77 miles an hour.
Close.
Does three somersaults. Darren and Jess just happen to be passing him, my cousin Darren.
Oh, no.
Just happens to be passing him as he does three flips, lands on his feet. Didn't have his helmet latched. His helmet goes flying off after he comes out of the flip, starts walking. The bike thrashed. He's road rashed up. He had sweatpants on, ate through his sweatpants. Luckily, he had a backpack on, so it kind of saved his, mm-hmm. helped his fall a little bit. Had to go to the hospital. Me and Ellie had to go pick up the bike, bring it back up here. It's actually over there. We'll get a shot of that after. But so he ended up, you separated your shoulder. Had to spend a night in the beautiful Vanderbilt Hospital.
And you did 16.3 right after this.
Yeah.
That was a little before that. And then, so never told his buddy. Never told his buddy that he wrecked his bike. His buddy came down once, a couple months later. Dre's kind of like got these scars now that are, you know, from road rash. And his buddy's like, man, what is that? He's like, is that eczema? He's like, yeah, I got eczema.
Yeah, your bike gave it to
never,
me.
Never
you
told
wash that thing.
Never told his buddy until, what, 2 months ago? His friend came down like for a third or fourth time. And he's like, hey, man, I got to tell you something. I wrecked your bike.
Oh.
And so I think that's – is that where part of your money went to? Or did you blow it on something else?
Mostly towards hospital bills.
Oh,
and so,
my gosh.
So then Dre also wasn't going to – he was doing all the open workouts, did them all multiple times, and decided he wasn't going to regionals because he had to have shoulder surgery April 5th?
First.
April 1st, 5th, something like that. And so finishes third in – mm-hmm. our region. I was like, Dre, you're not having shoulder surgery. If you in snatch 265 with a torn labrum, I'm like, let's wait till after regionals.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Let's just see what happens.
So he's on your team too?
No, he's individual.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, he'll be
looking
all right.
good.
Yeah. He'll be all right.
So about the team, we didn't even talk about it. Like your team won the CrossFit Games Affiliate Cup last year. Like how was that? Like
it was fun. It was a good time.
Yeah.
We had fun. No, it wasn't. It was, to be honest, it wasn't really expected. We were, you know, we knew we would fare well. I was our plan. You know, you always want to go into any competition wanting to win, but we knew we had some holes and needed some stuff to work on. But we were just there, you know, not to just to have fun.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted top 10, top 5, something like that. And then just kind of slowly kept creeping up the leaderboard. And going into the final event, we were in second. And I was like, hey, might as well win this thing. We're here, so let's do it. And so it was a good time. It was cool to actually, you know, share the win with other people instead of, you know, it's cool, it's great to win the CrossFit Games as an individual, but to see what everybody's sacrificed and to work with people day in and day out and just to see the, you know, how happy it makes them, it was a cool experience.
What's it like training with a team and doing the team?
It's different. It's, you know, different personalities, and you've got to figure out how to motivate those different personalities. And, like, I'm not very good with crying. I'm horrible with crying. Somebody starts to cry.
I can see that.
Seriously, like, just kind of walk away.
Yeah.
And so, luckily, you know, James and Matt are a little bit better, a little bit more nurturing, where I just kind of, like, get real awkward and just, like.
You get all Jamie Dugan on them.
Yeah, just kind of, like, walk away.
You have this sign in your home garage gym. It's, like, the butt hurt free zone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, you know, it's just different, man. It's a different animal, I guess, is because you're also on everybody else's schedule too. So it's like trying to figure out when certain people can train, and it's just it's a different animal, but it's fun.
How do you approach your own training now that you're with a team? Do you
trying to be the fittest individual that I can?
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, with the games the way it has been the last couple of years, I mean, it's not. You can't really specially – I feel like in the first couple of years, you could have, like, somebody that was really strong, a male or female that was really strong, one that was really good at gymnastics, and then kind of a jack-of-all-trades. I think now we're to the point where it's, like, everybody has to be well-rounded.
Yeah.
That most events are taking all six people in some way, you know. So just be the fittest individual that I can be and work on the team.
Find other people.
Fit individuals.
Right,
that's right.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. What were some of the – So what was the lowest place you were in at the games as a team?
Like 22nd, something like that. You know, we started out well in the swim.
Mm-hmm.
We did not do so well on the one-mile run. And then we had another one or two events that were just didn't go real well.
Mm-hmm.
Not according to plan. But, you know, we just kind of slowly kept creeping, kept creeping. And then I think by day three, I think we were fourth or fifth or something like that. And then just kept moving up.
What kind of helped the momentum turn around?
I think it was just like, you know, we
pizza.
Yeah. We eat pizza. No, I think it was just, for one, we're pretty we're used to the higher volume, and everybody's kind of used to the being feeling like you're beat down on day three, I guess.
Yeah.
And so for us, it's just another day where everybody else is kind of, you know, you can tell it's starting to hit them a little bit. But then also, we never really got down on each other. Everybody was just, you could see other teams, there was kind of some inner struggle. We never really, you know, things went bad. It was like, all right, when you train with people like that day in and day out, you know they're putting forth their best effort. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not lack of trying why we did bad on certain events. It was just those events weren't good for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so there's no reason to get upset. There's nothing you can change. There's nothing you can do about it. So it's like, hey, just on to the next event.
Yeah.
And so I think we did a good job of that, where it was like, all right, we're not going to get down. Hey, we know running was not a good thing for us, and let's just move on to the next event and try to make up some time.
So it sounds like you kind of serve as the leader / the coach of the team.
I wouldn't necessarily. I'd say, you know, everybody has their different leadership roles. You know, like I said, Matt and James are more, they're more of the nurturing type. I'm more of the lead by example type.
Right.
I'm not like a get in your face pep talk type of guy. I'm more of like, hey, let's go do this, and I'll, you know,
just sack it up.
Yeah. And so, you know, and the girls are you know, Ellie's are kind of our punching bag. We make fun of a lot. And she's the comic.
If you go to his channel, you can see a lot of videos.
Well, didn't she make some weird comment yesterday? Like, I can't remember what she was saying, but it was just this obvious. Like, really, you didn't know?
It's every day.
Oh, I said, does anyone have any floss? And she said, yeah. Yeah. I have some in my car. I can't leave home. I'm really crazy about keeping my teeth clean. And we all looked at each other like,
not that kind of floss.
I think you were like, yeah, no, he meant voodoo floss.
Ellie, no, I knew she was going to say dental floss. And I'm like, that's not. I know Ellie does not have what you're talking about.
Yeah. But she knows too. She was laughing about it.
It's funny. She's Ellie. So
yeah.
She's the comic relief. And then, you know, Kristen's real straightforward. Whatever you tell her to do, she's going to do it. So she's super easy to manage. And then Lindy's been the same way. She's just, I mean, all three of the girls actually are just, hey, what do you need us to do, and we'll do it.
And is everybody on your team now? Was that the team that you took to the games last year?
So we switched Lauren with Lindy. Lindy kind of moved down here and has stepped into Lauren's position. And Lauren did great for us. She was kind of not a last-minute add, but she stepped up last year when we had somebody that was going to be on the team, decided not to be on the team. We were kind of stuck. And so she decided, we said, hey, Lauren, we need you. And she was like, all right, I'll do it. It's full-time mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. 40, how old is Lauren?
41 years old.
Yeah.
Full-time mom, full-time job.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. Gotcha. So she did well, really well. Yeah.
Do you feel like that now that you kind of have a team, maybe like what's, because now you got a kid now.
Yeah. I got a 2-year-old. So
how do you balance that?
It's actually a lot easier.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
I'm in a better place training-wise where I probably train just as much. Maybe not as much, but close to as much. But when I'm done training, I'm done training. I'm not thinking about training. I'm not, you know, that's not my number one priority. My number one priority is being a dad. And so it's been really good to give me something else to think about and not be so, I mean.
Maybe take some pressure off.
Yeah, for years I've been obsessed with being the fittest man on earth. That was literally, you know, I woke up every day. That was my plan. That was what I wanted to do. And so now it's like, now I want to be a good dad. And so now, I wouldn't say CrossFit's more of a hobby, but it's still my job. But it's less stressful, for sure.
Is that part of the reason why you kind of went to the team route?
Yeah, for sure. You know, I didn't feel like I could give competing as an individual as much attention as I would want to be as competitive as I wanted to. And then I also felt like me trying to do that would take away from me being a dad, and I didn't want to do that either. So it's not fair for her and my wife. You know, wouldn't say I was a crappy husband, but I was not as present as I should be for a couple of years. Just because, I mean, you got to be selfish. To be the best in the world at anything, you have to be selfish.
Absolutely.
And you have to be a little obsessive. So.
Yeah. And how old is your daughter now?
She'll be 2 in July, July 7th. So she is 100 miles an hour. you follow me on Snapchat, you see that. She's literally 100 miles an hour from the time her feet hit the floor to the time she goes to sleep.
Yeah.
But she's fun.
What's your Snapchat? Just for people who just want to follow you on Snapchat.
I don't even know. I think it's like froning.rich or something like that. It's yep. I don't know. Maybe we'll follow up on that one.
Are you fitter now?
I'd say I'm more well-rounded. Probably fitter for
You're
sure.
Stronger.
I'm stronger. better at running. PR. Better at swimming.
PR just clean and jerk today.
Yeah. Better at running. Better at swimming. I think I'm fitter.
Very cool. Angelo.
Yeah.
Sorry, went quiet over there for a minute. I got some questions for you. Tell us about your games experience. What it's like qualifying.
Yeah.
You know, what that step is for a teenager, and then, you know, what it's like actually being there and your last year experience and winning.
Yeah, so we just go straight top 10 in the 14-15 division and the 16-17 division. Just go straight to the games. So if you get top 10, you're going to the games. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it is for now. And I think as it grows, they'll make a qualifier just because there's not as many kids sure. doing it right now as there is Masters. Mm-hmm. So once they see it grow, I think next year, if not next year, then the year after that, we'll definitely have a qualifier or something like that.
Cool.
Just because I think when it grows, it makes it more fair.
Yeah.
Angelo actually bumped up an age group this year too. So
I was about to ask you about that. So how many people, last year it was 14, 15?
Yeah.
How many teenagers do that? Do you know?
No idea.
Not an idea? Okay. No. So they take top 10 in the world.
Yeah.
And then you go to the games. So there's 10 competitors at the games that you compete against. So the scoring, that's actually pretty slim too.
Oh yeah. Really small. You have a bad event. It's hard.
Right. So this year, you turn 16, so you're now in the new 16-17. It's the same thing. But obviously, 14-15-year-olds going to 16-17-year-olds, that's a big jump.
Yeah, that's a big jump. Big.
A lot of kids develop.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
So last year, there was a lot of kids who didn't do it for the same reason that I wasn't going to do it, just because they didn't want to, do the teen division and just miss an opportunity, maybe see how far they can get in the region or whatever, see where they're at in the region. Because I know that was kind of my goal. I was going to just see where I'm at in the region, see what I need to do, things I need to work on. But going to the teen route was obviously the best route. And then, we have kids who did that last year coming to the teen route, and they're stepping up a lot. So there's a bunch of names that I haven't even seen up on the leaderboard. And, there's a bunch of fit kids this year, mm-hmm. a lot of fit.
Well, you're also on the lower end of the curve of that. I mean, there's a big difference between when you turn 16 by the time you're almost 18, some of these kids are almost 18. Mm. So there's a lot of development that's still going to happen.
Oh, sure. I remember playing any sport growing up. If I'm playing in a 15 to 16 year old, like if you're playing Bantams and hockey and you go to midget, it's night and day difference how much bigger and faster, the kids are. So
I weighed 130 pounds my sophomore year. And then my junior year, I weighed 165. So it's
Especially for some kids.
Testosterone, man.
Yeah, right?
Good stuff, man.
Free stuff.
Free testosterone.
Yeah.
So tell us about the experience at the games. Did you have any, what were some of your lowest placements? What were some of the biggest challenges you had?
I love being at the games. Didn't ever think I'd get to actually compete there, or at least for a long time. It'd be a long time before I thought I'd be there. And getting to go there was a huge deal for me. Huge deal for my family. We were excited.
Yeah.
So, because we didn't go. We were gonna go the last year that he won 2014, but things just didn't play out. We ended up just going on a regular vacation. So I was finally glad to go out there because I've never been out there, never been to California, never even been west of the Mississippi. Out there. So it was a big deal going out there, and then being there was just a great experience. Yeah, tons of. And then I had made some friends through social media that some of the other teens.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, some of the teens.
Oh,
that
cool.
were like four or five other teens that I'd made friends with, and we went out there. We got to finally meet, so that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
The
I love
power of social media.
Yeah,
see it. I mean, we become good friends through competition. That's actually how we met and became good, had developed a good relationship, and I've got a ton of friends through competitions and training that I will be friends with forever, I feel So this year, tell us the story about how qualifying, because you actually did qualify this year in the 16 and 17, which is super impressive.
Yeah.
Why don't you walk us through that?
So this year was a lot tougher. Yeah, a lot tougher. Numbers-wise, the placement-wise, it was hard. Workout-wise, wasn't as hard as it looked. Mm-hmm. I was third workout almost kept me out just because I was three reps short of a top 10. I got 22nd. If I got three more reps, I would have been a top 10 finish. It would have been no question. Probably would have finished fifth in the open, somewhere up there. So
what was the third workout?
The third
again?
Workout was the power snatch and bar muscle up.
Right. Yeah. Workout I thought I would have done good on, just kind of caught me off guard a little bit. Mm-hmm. Wasn't ready for it.
Was it the muscle ups that gave you the
snatch?
The snatches,
yeah.
Okay.
Weird. Yeah, just shoulders went, shoulders and grip just went. It was weird.
How many rounds did you get on that?
I have no idea.
A lot.
One. I got 103, so whatever that is.
It's like seven and change.
It's still good. I mean,
it's a really good score.
Yeah, still a good score. Yeah.
It just is, like I said, it's just so competitive this year. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, that one kind of almost kept me out. And so after the fourth week, I was in 11th, which was pretty stressful, yeah. Yeah. I was texting these guys. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I go, this might be it. I might not be able to make it. And I talked to Darren, his cousin. He's like my main guy I go to because he's kind of been my coach through all this. And he had no doubt in me. He knew I'd make it to the games. I said, I don't know, this year might be pretty tough. I don't know if I can make it. He goes, you're going to make it to the games. He goes, no way you're going to miss the games. So after the fourth week, sitting in 11th, and I woke up Monday morning. I did 16.5 on Friday. Mm-hmm. Pretty good score, but didn't know if it was good enough. And that was a stressful part. Didn't know if it was going to be good enough. And just couldn't sleep, just so anxious. So Monday morning, I wake up, going to redo it anyway. Mm-hmm. Monday morning, wake up at about 5 or 6 a.m. I have a fever, over 100. I have fever over 100. I walk upstairs, I'm like, Mom, I'm sick. Mm-hmm. And she's like, aren't you going to do that workout today? I'm like, yeah, I was going to. I go, I don't know if I need to. I might be able to squeeze in without redoing it. So I go to the doctor, and I get some medicine, and I watched the leaderboard all day, watching it all day, and then I finally am like, I'm going to have to do it. Mm-hmm. I go, it's close, and I don't want it. I don't want to be like 10 seconds away. So I show up at his house. I'm like, hey, let's do this thing. I want to go home and sleep. Like, I'm going to do this. Yeah. I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go sleep for today, tomorrow, and the next day. So I get there, and he said,
I wasn't going to redo it.
He wasn't going to redo it.
I was like, I don't care. I just got back from California, and I was like, that workout was stupid.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I start warming up. He grabs the bar. I go, what are you doing? He's like, I'll do it with you. And so we both end up doing it, but he got a lot better. He did a lot
40
better.
40 seconds faster than I'd
done then,
there.
And then I got a lot better. I got like 21 seconds, just enough. And, squeezed my way in. It was close, but I squeezed in. And then
10th place.
Went home and slept.
Do you think because you guys were working without working with Rich that that's how you got better at that workout?
I think so, yeah. I think – and then the whole crew was there. So, James is my judge. I think Dre was there.
Afternoon crew at the house was there, Mike and all that.
All the regular crew was there. And
power of the training environment.
Yeah.
Quite the support crew.
They knew what I needed to do, and they all helped me through it. So, I was happy. Yeah.
How good did it feel when you were done?
So bad. So bad.
How good did it feel? It felt so bad. It felt terrible.
I was so dehydrated, all cramped up, like laying on the floor. I've never felt like that. I never want to feel like that again.
Yeah, because you were sick.
Oh, yeah.
I can't imagine doing that.
So, fever. I hang around there, and I'm like, I got to go home.
I'm leaving. We didn't see him for like 4 days.
Yeah, I slept.
Everybody's
all
like,
day
you did it, you did it.
You're
like,
I'm
peace.
Done. Later, done.
Slept all day Tuesday, and I go, maybe I'll start doing something else Wednesday. Slept all Wednesday. And then Thursday, I get up, I'm like, I kind of feel better. And I just stayed at home all day Thursday. And then Thursday night was the first day I worked out.
Oh,
and
man.
It felt terrible. Yeah. I was happy to make it.
Yeah, man. So you were truly tested. And, you fought back. That's pretty awesome. Great story. Yeah.
Rich, do you coach him at competitions or will you coach him at
games? I was just thinking about that. I didn't last year just because the games, I was like, we had Lakeland. I was just trying to get out of there as soon as I could. So this year I'll probably hang out a little bit more. Try to help him out when I can. We get there a little earlier too, so it just kind of depends on what our schedule is. I mean, he doesn't really have to do anything at regionals or anything like that, so it'll be a little bit different.
Right. When did the teen divisions compete at the games?
Same time as the masters. So the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday leading up to the individuals and team.
Right on.
Yeah.
So what do you like to do outside of working out? I mean, because you work out all the time. Like, do you have anything else? I mean, you're a young dude. Like.
It's not a bad. It's not a wrong answer if you don't do
anything. Yeah, I have a girlfriend.
There's a girlfriend that he met in CrossFit that lives. She live in Iowa.
Iowa, 10 hours away. Yes.
Couples that wad together stay together. It's all good.
So she's, she does Olympic lifting though.
She's a real good Olympic lifter.
He lifted at the Nationals last year, right? So he placed at Nationals. So he did an Olympic competition last year.
Oh, so you're at Youth Nationals.
Yeah, Youth Nationals. Yeah, I did that, and then I was supposed to. She competed at Junior Nationals, and I was supposed to compete. But I ended up, I had a little back issue, just tweaked. It wasn't anything bad, and so I just kind of skipped down that because it was so close to the open. I didn't want to risk anything.
Yeah.
So I just went up there with her, and she set some new PRs. I think we're looking at collegiate nationals now, and she's Yeah, she's going to do good there, I think.
Oh, she's older. She's older.
Yeah, she's a little bit older. She's a little bit older.
At the time, right now.
She got her first muscle up in the Open, right? Bar muscle up?
Yeah.
Oh, very
cool. Got her first muscle up like 2 weeks before that. Got her first bar muscle up. And then she just leaps and bounds away from where she was. Like, mm-hmm. I think me and her being together has helped her so much, helped me a lot. Mm-hmm. Because, one, I get to coach her a lot. She needs a lot of coaching. She's not like a...
Be careful about what you say.
I know, right? That's what I'm going to be careful.
She's not one of those people. She's not like... She doesn't need training partners. She needs someone there pushing her, like,
sure.
in the background, kind
of. So what he meant to say is he really enjoys coaching and hanging out with his wife, and they have a lot of commonality.
My wife?
But girlfriend.
Jeez. I'm just trying to...
We're both brainwashed.
Yeah. I'm trying to help him out here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
funny. You don't say anything incriminating.
Yeah. So you help her with CrossFit, or does she help you with weightlifting, or how?
She's helped me a lot with weightlifting because I'm not good at competing. I kind of get stressed out. She's good. She gets a little stressed out too, but she's good. She's good in the weightlifting aspect, and I'm not as good there with the high stress one lift. Mm-hmm. I'm better with the high stress, let's go really hard.
Yeah,
typical like CrossFitter.
That. Yeah. And, yeah, so, we met probably a month before the games, and mm-hmm. then she came out and watched the games, then the rest is history.
Are you going to give her a shout-out? She'd probably go get mad if you don't give her a shout-out.
Yeah. Kendall. Her name's Kendall. Kendall Beardsley. So we've been together.
Don't mess this up.
Oh,
don't mess this up.
9.5 months. 10 months.
Oh, it's in months? Okay. You're all right.
Yeah, 10 months. Yeah, not even a year. Not a year yet. Close.
Still close.
I thought we were going to have to change the subject real quick, man.
That's so funny. I was doing that by time.
No, I knew it was 9 months. I think, definitely 9 months.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Keep talking to it.
Okay. Definitely.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I got.
Post this. That's all I got on that.
So, like, what up? Like, do you like to, like, in your free time, you like to... Play other sports or?
Like yeah, play. We play. Well, we play. I like spike ball a lot. Spike ball's probably.
Yes, I brought mine.
Yeah, I like spike
Sorry,
ball.
I got excited.
We haven't been playing that a lot lately, just because
it's
regionals.
Crunch time.
Yeah,
it's
we gotta
time.
We gotta do.
Do you ever play hockey with this dude?
No, I don't play hockey. I don't know.
We try to get him to. He's just too scared.
I don't know. I just don't like.
He's afraid of getting hurt. Come on, man.
We went and played the other night, and I witnessed the greatest. You know what? I want you to tell a story. Rich, can you tell
the
story?
Rich, tell the story because it involves CTP.
CTP is behind the camera.
Legend
there.
Of the greatest the legend, hockey player of all time.
The legend was born 100%. That night.
100%.
Please tell us.
So I got the – I don't even know where I got the puck. It was just past half court because we don't do blue lines. We just have one half court. And so I'm kind of not by myself. I guess I am. Like a little bit of a breakaway.
Yeah,
some breakaway. And so skate up to the goalie, little wrister. Bounces off. CTP's there to clean up the garbage. Literally, what?
This guy.
Minute before that, he's skating around filming. He's like, you know what? I think I'll give this hockey thing a chance. And let me come out there, guys. And so we give him a stick. Literally gets on the floor as I'm grabbing the
seconds.
Puck.
Yeah. 10 seconds into playing, he goes out and he scores. And this entire place went nuts. It was
nuts.
So funny.
The video is on my Instagram and also on his Instagram.
I think another thing, too, is like listeners out there think, okay, this is just like a pickup game of hockey. Y'all threw on the full regalia.
Regalia.
Yeah, Rich tried to downplay. It was like, oh yeah, we're gonna play hockey, and it's just a couple of dudes. And nobody knows what they're doing. Me and Kurt, we're sitting there watching you guys put on like shin guards and pads, and we're like, this ain't for me right now. It's like it looks like the NHL out there.
CTP loosely, but
yeah. You've never watched before, so
yeah.
It's viewed a little differently, but I mean, it was a blast. It's the first time I played in like 4 years, and you know
it's
what?
A good
like,
time.
I wouldn't have played if I hadn't come up and hung out. And when we had messaged each other, I was like, "Hey, I'm coming up. Should I bring my gear?" And you were like, "Oh yeah, we're playing." And I was almost asking just like as a joke, but I was like, "Okay, man, I had to go to my attic and get my stuff out." Yeah. It was so much fun. We had a blast.
So much fun. And for the most part, everybody there is pretty laid back, and you know, we just there to have some fun. Like I've said before, I think it's some of my best conditioning sessions. You're done. Like you just can't. Yeah. Oh, hey,
Jake.
Who's making all that racket?
One of the tenets of CrossFit
trying
is
to
like,
sleep
I
up here.
Play new sports.
You know what? Yeah. You're right. And, I stopped playing for a while, to be honest, because I was so worried about training.
Hurt.
You know, get hurt and all that.
How's it
going to
affect
like,
my training?
Yeah. I mean, you can't always control that. You can get hurt in training. So
yeah, exactly.
You know,
that's
obviously
why
not being stupid, but
right.
It was just so much fun.
When is you haven't been injured in a while? Like,
knock on wood. I haven't had any serious injuries. Yeah. I mean, I had shoulder surgery when I was in high school, but that wasn't from CrossFit. tweaked my back a little bit after the 2010 games, but nothing. I mean, everybody has, like I've always said, you have one gremlin that kind of moves around. Like, it's nothing major, but it's always just kind of aching.
What's your gremlin?
Your shoulder to your knee. It always like bounces around.
Conservation of pain.
Doug said that once. He's like, pain never leaves the body. It just goes from one place to another.
Yeah. What's kind of your gremlin?
My right knee, if I sit in flexion for too long, like in a back seat, it literally feels like it wants to explode. It's
right
just my
patellar?
Right knee. Yeah, it's right in my right knee. Yeah, mine too. And then my shoulders, just every once in a while. One thing I figured out, like I was having awful shoulder pain, like anytime I'd hold anything overhead, awful. My wife bought she bought a pillow top, like roll out, you know, one of those like eggshell, like thicker than eggshell memory foam things. And so she bought that a couple months before. And so I noticed after a couple months, I was like, man, my shoulders hurt. And like, and I was laying in bed and I just felt like my shoulders like caving in. Yeah. So the one night I took it off, rolled it up. She's got double on her side. Now I don't have any. Shoulder pain went away the next day. It was crazy.
Yeah.
So
I've had – oh, go ahead, sorry. No,
that's all I had.
That's done. Okay. I've had a lot of clients that would say, like, man, they woke up and say, man, I've got really bad achy shoulders, like something we did in training. And I'm like, make sure it's not the sleep, you know, like are you sleeping on the side? And wake up? Because I've done that too. I woke up and been like, God, like training. I look at it and I'm like, I didn't do anything. Slept on it and it's done that.
Well, we also learned that you're unbreakable. I mean, because
bone density.
Bone density. Yeah, you got a DEXA scan pretty recently.
This weekend. Yeah.
And what were some of the, like, what was your body fat?
I was 11.2. Most of my body fat is held in my quads, apparently. My right arm is smaller than my left arm. What else was there? Besides the bone density was like off the charts. Like I think
I think it was for the 99 percentile. It was like
one point something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Your Z, there was a Z score.
Yeah,
yeah, and it was like one, and yours was like
4.8.
Yeah,
and like Hewitt's on our team, who's 2.5. His bone density or whatever was 2.5.
Yeah,
and mine was 4.8. So
he's a thick dude too.
Adamantium.
Yeah, basically you're Bruce Willis.
Adamantium.
And you say your body fat was 11.2. Yeah. So it's people think that I guess you're like leaner than that. Like your number is lower.
You have to have some fat to do what we do. And you know, I think you look at like skin calipers and stuff like that, but there's the measurement error on that stuff is so high. So
when I calculate with those, I'm not necessarily doing it to like find a specific percentage. Like it's point A to point B. I want to measure the change.
Yep. Right.
Percent change.
Yeah. What are some of the things that you've been doing, I guess, for recovery or?
I think sleep is for me has always been the biggest part of my recovery because I don't do a ton of. Luckily, we have a chiropractor that. Anytime we text him, like, hey, bro, I need something.
Yeah.
Right there. His wife's a massage therapist, so anytime we need something, she's right there. But, you know, as far as just, like, you know, I don't do any of the cryotherapy or do a ton of ice baths or anything like that. I think the biggest thing for me has always been sleep. Mm-hmm. However, I'm not getting a ton of sleep anymore because I have a 2-year-old.
Dad.
Yeah.
That likes to kick me in the face. In the middle of the night. Like karate kick me in the face. So,
yeah.
You know, but it's part of it. And, whatever.
Man, I had some experience with that. You know, we got a new puppy a few months back, and
I think kids or puppies are harder than kids. Sometimes.
Someone told me that. I think they're just being nice.
I've had two puppies and a kid, and sometimes the dogs are harder than the kid.
Angela, what about you? Do you have anything that you want to?
Any kids?
I was gonna ask if you have anything that you want to share, like plug or people you want to thank. That help with your training?
Your parents?
Your mom?
Yeah, mom's coming up Mother's Day. Your mom's going to watch this, by the way.
I love you, Mom.
May not be out by Mother's Day, but.
I guess my mom's the only reason I'm on here because she said yes.
She said it was okay.
She said it was okay. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did call. We had a nice conversation. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
Any sponsors or anything? Anybody help you out?
Look down on your chest.
Yeah. FitAid helps me. Yeah. I do love FitAid a lot. They've sent me anything I want. Just anything I need. I message Aaron. He's usually my guy, my go-to.
Oh, yeah, Aaron. We know Aaron.
Aaron, yep. Yeah, good friends with all them. Yep. Great people.
Oh, yeah. I love those guys. Yeah, they're great. They help me out at the games. I'm like, hey, I'm pretty tired. They're like, oh, we got a couch in the back. You want to come sit down? Yeah.
No, we've been back there.
And then Wadapalooza, same deal. Go back there, sit down. It's nice, yeah. I like those guys.
Awesome. What about you, Rich?
Normal. Got Rogue.
Where do we start?
Rogue, Reebok, Reband. What else I got? Advocare. It's great. Get to go to NASCAR races with them, so it's fun.
Oh, awesome.
Where can we find Rich Froning?
Where can you find Rich Froning online? At Rich Froning, I think, is both my Instagram and my Twitter. I got to figure out my Snapchat. I think it's froning.rich or something like that. Mm-hmm. I feel like somebody had already stolen Rich Froning at that point.
I think CTP's looking it up.
If you want to see what we do day to day, we have What's Rich Doing. You can check that out on CrossFitMayhem.com. If you want to come train with us for a weekend, we actually got one of those coming up this weekend. Mm-hmm. Literally, it's what it says, train with Rich. Mm-hmm. And so we literally, Friday night, people come in, hang out. We work out a couple times. And then do a little barbecue,
nice.
work out all day Saturday, yeah. Work out in the morning Sunday, have some fun. So this will be our third one, and we've had a good time with it. So
very cool.
Very cool. Very
Angelo,
cool.
What about you? You on social media?
Yeah. Angelo _ DeChico is my Instagram. Yeah. is my Instagram. So Angelo.
It's on the shirt, right?
D-I-C-I-C-C-O.
D-I-C-I-C-C-O. There you go. There you go. And then
DeChico was his name.
Twitter is Angelo _ and then D, this one's a little bit easier. D C H I C O.
D T Chico.
So just as you say it, D Chico.
Oh, got it.
Yeah.
Cool. Hey, make sure we talk about the strength test.
Today we launched it. We've been working on this new thing, our Barber Shrug crew, called the Shrug Strength Test, and it's a 3-day test that we built. It's a bunch of different exercises. I bet you can't do it. People scored.
That's a challenge. The gloves have been thrown.
Gloves are off. Yeah.
3 days, you take the test.
How many times does it take you to clean 380?
Oh!
I was doing clean pulls. Oh, this okay. guy slapped me on the back, which I've never done before, and I highly recommend it because I went white. I was like, ugh! It was crazy. I couldn't believe it worked. 7 times later, but yeah,
it worked.
We got it. So yeah, the Shrug Strength Test. 3 days of test, 4 or 5 movements each day. No, 5 or 6 movements each day. Go through the movements. We have go to shrugstrengthtest.com. Sorry, I'm all over the place. Slow down. StruckStrengthTest.com.
You can do it 7 times.
We'll show you. Yes. 7 times to try. We got movements. We got videos on there that show you how to do each movement. After you get done with it, we've got an easy page for you to fill out all your results. Once you do that, we send you a big package with all this feedback based on which weight class you're in and then some ideas on what we think you can do to get better at them. Yeah. So it's really cool. It's a lot of good information. And it's absolutely free. So check it out. StruckStrengthTest.com.
I really want to see if Rich will do it, though.
It'd be interesting.
I'm being honest. Yeah. I don't know if he can.
Well, this is a side note, but one of my coach, Zach Greenwald, he plugs some of your numbers into his, like, spreadsheet. He does mm-hmm. a lot about strength ratios. He actually said that you were, like, the most balanced strength-wise, nice. And everything is your overhead squat apparently is your best lift. Like, what's your overhead squat?
Best, I think 380 was the best we've ever done.
And he said like everything was 90% of that, which is insane.
Hey, cool.
And for your best overhead, best lift to be the overhead squat is insane.
It's kind of awkward. It's kind of weird.
Extremely efficient.
Yeah.
So very cool, guys.
Very cool.
Angela, man. Yeah. You did great, man.
Good job.
Thank you so much for coming on, Rich.
Right on.
Thank you again.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.